Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Esther, chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go, gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for these 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. So far, some of the text. May be seated. In Christ Jesus, who has used us to spread his word through the setting up and maintaining of this Christian congregation, to fellow redeemed. There's a statement that I ran across many years ago in my studies that I know I've used in Bible class and maybe a sermon or two that applies to the events of our sermon text in the book of Esther this morning. And that statement is this: God is not so much concerned about your ability or your inability, but he's concerned about your availability. God wasn't concerned about whether Queen Esther was able to persuade her husband the king. He was concerned whether she would be available to do so. And the same can be said of each of us. God is concerned about our availability. And then he'll work his abilities in us. Our theme this morning is God makes use of his children to accomplish his will. How many of us wouldn't have responded the same way Queen Esther responded when she was confronted with the trouble, the problem that Mordecai told her about? It's a very human response. This is what Queen Esther said to her cousin Mordecai: "All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king, who has not been called, he has but one law, put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. In other words, Esther is saying to Mordecai, "I'd love to help, really I would like to help, but you know the law. If you go unannounced before the king, he can be put to death. And he hasn't called for me, his own wife, for 30 days. Now to me, that sounds like a very natural, human, rational reaction to a problem. The king hasn't called for me. If I walk in and say, "Oh king," and he doesn't hold up his golden scepter, off of my head, and I'm killed. And so he says, "I'd like to help, I'd like to serve, but I'm not able to." But again, God was not concerned about her ability or inability, just her availability. And that she was. She was the queen, the wife of the king. God had made her this and placed her here for this situation, for this circumstance. And that's exactly what her wise cousin told her. He first gave her words of warning. He said, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews." In other words, someone's going to find out that you're a Jew too, and then you too will have to be put to death because the law of the Medes and Persians does not change. And then he gave her other words of advice that were even more important. He said, "For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Mordecai trusted the Lord would rescue them, even though things looked pretty bleak. He must have been a student of the Old Testament scriptures and realized that God had delivered his people time and time again, and he had made all these promises in the past, promises of salvation, that the Messiah would come from the people of Israel. And so he realized that there's no way that this could happen, that they could all be destroyed. If Haman had his way, and all the Persian people kill all the Jews throughout the province, which also included those who had returned to Israel and Jerusalem, the promise of salvation, the promise of the Messiah, would come to an end. All the Jews would be destroyed. So Mordecai is saying, "Don't raise someone. He'll raise someone to deliver us. But if it's not you, Master, then shame on you. Who knows whether you've been risen to this very office, this position, for this moment in time." And no doubt, Queen Esther had thought about that before. Before this happened, she was just a common, everyday, ordinary Jewish girl. She didn't go back to Jerusalem as the other Jews did. And then suddenly she got caught up in this beauty pageant. And the king chose her, the most beautiful woman in all Persia, to be his wife. Why? Fate? Luck? Chance happening? Good karma? No. The Lord's hand was guiding this whole thing, her whole life, of this young lady, in order for her to accomplish his will. These words of Mordecai are the key words to this entire book of Esther. The Lord was directing all the affairs of Persia so that one of his own would help deliver his people in the time of peril. But even at this moment in time, the Lord wasn't dependent upon Esther. If Esther would not have done what she saw she should do, the Lord could have raised someone else to accomplish his will. He would have provided someone else to do that. But then, as Mordecai said, it would have been a shame on her, and what a blessing she would have missed. Well, these words apply directly to every single one of us. God provides us our positions in our life as parents or spouse or children or grandparents, maybe employees, employers, self-employed, retired members, friends. He gives us our possessions, our goods, our money, our houses, our cars. He gives our time, our talents, our treasures, all for one important reason, and that is to serve the cause of the gospel. In case you missed that, I'll repeat that again. God gives us our position in life, all of our possessions, all of our talents, our time, our treasures, for one important reason. It's for the cause of the gospel. That's why we're here on this earth, to bring the good news to all people. We should not let opportunities slip by. We dare not squander our chances to be of service to our Lord and His kingdom because we're fearful that we might lose our position or maybe even lose our life for the gospel's sake. If we're fearful and unfaithful, God will take the opportunity and give it to someone else to accomplish His will. But what a shame on us. If we don't hold fast and cling tight to the scriptures and His truth and purity, well, God will have someone else do it. But then we might lose the truth of the word. If we're not involved in worldwide mission endeavors, God will have someone else do that. But then we might even lose the gospel completely. The best way to keep the gospel in your heart is by studying it and hearing it and then giving it away to others so that they too will hear and be led to believe. Like most of us, Esther at first had trouble seeing that her being queen was according to God's will, her being placed in this position was a calling to her, not for her own glory or her own comfort or her own welfare, but to God's glory and for the welfare of God's people. And how often don't we also, at times, have trouble realizing that our position in life, whatever it may be, our goods, our time, our talents, are not to be used for my glory or your glory, for our welfare, for our comfort, but for God's glory and for the welfare and comfort of others. We can directly apply these words to every one of us here this morning. God hasn't chosen us as members of this congregation, Peace Through Christ. He hasn't called us and worked His grace in and through us over these many, many years for our own glory, to glorify this congregation, but for His glory and for service to the people of this world. Over the years, He's made use of you to accomplish His will, to do what He wants. Why do you think you're here this morning? Why are you in the position that you are at work, or in your home, or among your friends, or other family members, or here in your church? It's because God has called you to this position to accomplish His will in your life. Why was Mordecai Esther's surrogate father? Why was Esther so beautiful that she became the queen of Persia? Why were the people of Israel fasting and praying so that Esther could do the will of the Lord and save their lives? During the Revolutionary War, there was a man named Thomas Paine who wrote quite a few articles encouraging the colonists in their struggle against the people of England, the Great Britain people. And in one of his columns, articles, he began with these words: "These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country." In other words, it's easy to say, "I want to be a soldier when the sun shines. I want to be a soldier when there's no war. I want to be a patriot when it doesn't cost me anything." That's not the kind of soldiers and patriots a country needs. Also, in Christ's army, how many of us as soldiers in Christ's army have to admit that we've been summer soldiers and sunshine patriots? Oh yes, we profess our faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we'll serve Him as long as and only if it's convenient to us, if it doesn't cost us too much. Esther could have said, "Mordecai, I'm sorry. I can't help you. I'm comfortable here as queen. I've got a really nice position. I like my lifestyle. Why should I rock the boat? Why should I risk my life and go in front of him and tell him about this terrible, cruel command that he has made?" So also, when we're confronted with service to the Lord, how easy it is for us to say, "I like my lifestyle too. I'm comfortable with what I do. No more, no less. I'm not going to get out of the boat and walk in the water. I'm going to stay in the boat. I'm going to do only what I think I can do. I don't want to be challenged." And thankfully, there's usually always someone else the Lord calls on to do the work that I didn't do, or that you don't get done. But again, what a shame upon us. And what blessings we miss when we don't take up the challenge of the service of the Lord, even when it's going to cost us time, treasures, talents, availability. When our faithfulness to our serving service to our Lord is tested, are we available? Christ has placed us here on this earth as His children. Our highest calling is then to live as His children. He's also called us to be his servants, his ambassadors, his soldiers. Everything we do in this life should flow out of this all-encompassing reason for being here on this earth. And all we need to do is remember what Christ did. Christ came to this earth to give his all for us. He willingly left his throne in heaven to come and be conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, not to be glorified, but to glorify his Father. Not to get, but to give. Not to be served, but to serve and to save those who are lost. And that's me. And that's you. Jesus surely was not a summer soldier and sunshine patriot. He was the perfect substitute, sacrifice for all of us lost, sinful rebels. And now God has placed us in this world, created us, redeemed us, sanctified us, and calls us now to serve him by serving our fellow human beings. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, for the love of Christ, Christ's love compels us, that is, moves us, pushes us forward, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. In our work, in our play, in our recreation, in our study, in our families, our highest calling as his children is to live for him and everything we think, everything we say, and everything we do. That's why he created us. That's why he redeemed us. And that's why he sanctified us. It's also why he's called us together here as a family in our congregation at Peace Through Christ. We as blood-bought, redeemed family members are to be concerned about each other, to love each other, to love one another as we love ourselves, to support each other with the Word of God, to pray for another. Pray for me as your pastor. Pray for your teacher and your Sunday school teachers. Pray for our church officers. Pray for the members. Pray for those who are having children. Pray for those who are dying, to keep them in God's grace by remembering them with a special word here and there, encouraging, supporting, also defending them. Peace Through Christ didn't begin by chance. This congregation has been called together as members here, not by fate, not by chance or anything else, but by the Lord's guiding hand, to be his congregation for this moment in time, to serve him and accomplish his will. We've been called to serve him by serving others, by spreading his word, by building his church, giving our time, our talents, our treasures for his kingdom work. In other words, living out of thankful love our life for him, even as he gave his life totally for us. And if and when we don't do this, then we see in ourselves a spiritual breakdown. We see in ourselves spiritual laziness, apathy, indifference, faithlessness that could lead to destruction if not checked. And so we need to repent of our sins, of not serving the Lord the way we should, ask for forgiveness, and seek for that courage and strength to continue to serve the Lord in our life, our conquering captain, our hero, Jesus. The Lord used Mordecai to be a wise cousin with good advice to Esther. The Lord used Esther, the beauty queen, to be the spokesman for the children of Israel. And the Lord used the other Israelites to pray for her and fast and ask the Lord to use her to accomplish his will. You and I have been called to whatever office we have. We probably will not have the kind of office that Esther had, queen or king. And we'll not accomplish things like saving a whole race. But the Lord will use us to save people. The Lord used us to bring the gospel message of salvation to others. The Lord used you and me to teach our children and our grandchildren the good news of salvation. We are what we are. We are who we are by God's design. We are blood-bought, redeemed children of God, living not for our own glory, not for our own welfare or comfort, but living for the glory of God and the welfare and comfort of others. And the Holy Spirit, working in our hearts through the good news of our Savior's love for us, make us always available to do His will. Amen.